And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, welcome to a post-game edition of the Forum Club. I'm your host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers dropped game four, 100-92, to the Suns to even the best of seven series at two games apiece, setting up a pivotal game five on Tuesday. But the most pressing issue for the Lakers right now is Anthony Davis and his health. He did not return for the second half of the game with a left groin strain and was ruled out. What was questionable to return, doubtful to return at halftime, was eventually ruled out for the rest of the game in the third quarter and is now day-to-day per The Athletic's Shams Charania. But his status for game five is unclear. And the LA Times actually reported that he has a grade one strain. And if that is the case, that type of injury usually has a 1 to 2 week recovery timetable. Now, it being the playoffs, the Lakers season potentially being on the line, maybe AD returns after game five or six. If it does go to seven or the Lakers do win the next two games in advance, he's back by the next round. But we really don't know at this point. I'm assuming the Lakers are going to have some type of media availability or status update on AD on Monday. So be on the lookout for that on The Athletic, on our respective Twitter feeds. Like, we'll be on top of that all day on Monday. But it is concerning for the Lakers because despite some of the season data, I've been looking at it and, in the regular season, the Lakers were actually... they're 3.5 points per 100 possessions. Sorry, 3.7 points per... No, 3.5 points per 100 possessions better with AD on the floor. So they were obviously better. But in the playoffs, they've actually been 16.6 points per 100 possessions worse with AD on the floor than off. And they've actually been a net negative with him on the floor. So it's not just, the discrepancy isn't just this giant discrepancy where he's like a plus 20 and then when he's off, it's like a plus 4. It's like, no... He's actually a minus 3.6 on the floor and plus 13 off the floor. So despite that data, I mean, let's not overcomplicate this situation. He's Anthony Davis. He's one of the best 10, if not best 5 players in the NBA. And he's a top 10 player on both ends. He is one of the league's, arguably the best scoring big man in the NBA. He's right up there with Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic. And defensively, he's arguably the best defensive big man in the NBA. And he's right up there with Rudy Gobert, Joel Embiid, whoever else you want to put in that conversation, Draymond Green, Ben Simmons, if you consider him a big man. Like all those guys, he's right there, if not when at his peak, the best scoring big man and the best defensive big man in the NBA. And for the Lakers to lose that player, it's a huge blow. And again, I don't care what the numbers say. You guys know I love numbers. I reference them on this podcast. But this is one time I'm just going to say the numbers are wrong. And just based on the eye test, especially defensively, and it was interesting to see the contrast of some of the comments made post-game because Kyle Kuzma was like, we're going to be fine defensively. We held this team to 100 points with AD missing half the game. It's really the offensive end where he's such a big part of our identity, and we got to figure out what's our DNA without AD. And then you had Marc Gasol almost take the opposite approach where he was like, offensively, guys got to step up, but we just got to move the ball. We got to play with space, pace, more LeBron. Like that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like he was sounding all optimistic offensively, and then defensively, he was like, defensively, we can't replace AD. We don't have a guy who can do those things. There aren't, no one else in the league can do what AD does defensively. So that's really going to be the challenge, is figuring out you know, everyone has to be sharper defensively and more in tune with their rotations and the timing of everything and just communication and all that stuff. So I thought it was interesting seeing two different players and two obviously smart players, two players who are great with the media in terms of being candid and honest and transparent, having two totally opposite, points of view and perspectives on how Anthony Davis affects the Lakers being out. And that's, I mean, that's it. It's both ends, right? Like they're both right. Mark's right. Like there's no one on the team could do what he does defensively. And really no one in the league can do what he does defensively. That just the combination of the size and length and athleticism and foot speed and all that stuff in that frame, there's no one built like AD. And at the same time, there's no one that could do what he does offensively in terms of being a hub in the low post, the mid post, pick and roll, pick and pop, the passing that he provides. You know, tonight he was honestly pretty awful, but still had three assists in the first quarter, and I thought was making some plays against the Suns defense that was clearly shading over to him. But I mean, honestly, I consider this game basically without AD. I know he played 19 minutes all in the first half, but he was a shell of himself. He was, I mean, I already rewatched the game, and he was basically, you know, sauntering up and down the court, like limping side to side. You did not see him getting out in transition. You did not see any dunking from him. It was all, you know, spot up jumpers, a couple dribbles into a fadeaway or a turnaround. Like he was not getting great post position. He just, you know, defensively he was actually solid, and that's, I honestly think, I think it's honestly tough for me. It's tough because I go back and forth on like, is he going to affect the offense more or the defense more without AD? I think it's probably the defense, only because I just think having AD at the four, it's made the Lakers giant. And playing him next to Drummond, playing him next to Gasol, I think defensively it's worked. I think offensively, that's where you see some of the issues, especially with Drummond, where it's just the spacing. It's just purely spacing. And that's where Mark has actually fit in nicely. But I think defensively, the playmaking, because again, even with him basically hobbling on one leg, he had a steal, he had a block. I thought he made some impact plays defensively. And he just has this presence defensively where if you're a ball handler, you think twice about going to the paint when Anthony Davis is there or nearby. He blows up pick and rolls, he blows up cuts, he just blows up an entire defense. He's that good. He can switch on to guards, he can switch on to wings. Obviously, he's defended Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton and you know, rotated and acted in different roles depending on who he's defending. But I just think he's been so good defensively this series for the most part, and especially against a smaller team, that is where they're really going to miss him. Now, again, he did just dominate in game two and three, scoring 34 points in each of those two games. So with the way the Lakers offense has performed, maybe just because they don't have another guy who's going to necessarily go out and get 20 plus other than LeBron and maybe Dennis, it is tough to say that the offense isn't going to be severely affected. But again, they basically didn't have AD in this game. He was a shell of himself. And they were still competitive. It still went down to the last couple minutes. Had Dennis made that layup with a minute and a half left, they're down five. Staples Center's rocking, going crazy. And the Lakers are back in it. So I think all things considered, I think the Lakers have a chance. I want to know, of course, what happens with AD. Is he out game five? Is it game five and six, but he's back game seven if there is one? Is he out the rest of the series? Is he out 2 weeks? Like, you know, that's really going to sway how I view this entire situation, of course. But I think I'm going to presume he's out game five. So I'm operating with my analysis under that assumption of AD's out game five. I just don't see with this type of injury how it, you know, and again, already having the knee injury, you are now really risking him potentially doing some more serious damage to that left leg, I think, having both a groin and a knee injury in conjunction, at the same time. So for me, it's, I almost, you know, it is a playoff game. It is, it's not a must win, but it's almost a must win. I think if, you know, if he can go, you probably got to play him, but I just don't see how he's going to be able to go after really, again, not looking great in this game and then suffering this injury. It just might be too much to put him on the floor 2 days later. So I'm operating under the assumption he's out. And if he's out, I think, you know, first and foremost, LeBron's got to step up. You know, and I thought he was way too passive in that third quarter. You know, was really just swinging the ball around the perimeter, settling for jumpers, and had a couple drives later in the quarter, which set up that fourth quarter, which was much better from him. But I felt, you know, at his best in this series, it was that second half of game three where he took over and just, you know, charged the paint and bulldozed his way in. And I actually recorded a game three podcast. We had an error on our end, so you guys didn't get to hear my thoughts on game three. But, you know, I was super optimistic after game three. Like I was saying, not only are the Lakers about to win this series, they're looking like at least the West favorites at a minimum, if not the championship favorites. And I'm singing a much different tune after game four, simply because AD being AD was factored in that equation. And we were coming off of game two and three. He dominated 34 points, had 22 second half points in game three after injuring his knee in the first half in game three. So I thought things were trending in the right direction. And I literally just wrote it. And, you know, I don't know if I jinxed the Lakers. This actually is the second time I've written something and then something bad has happened. Earlier in the season, I wrote that LeBron had reasserted himself as the MVP favorite. Next day, he gets injured against the Hawks. Then I just wrote that the Lakers are finally healthy and whole and trending in the right direction and things are breaking right for them. And AD gets injured in the next day. So I don't know. Maybe this is all on me. I apologize, guys. I'm really sorry. But yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, it's got to be on LeBron, right? Like LeBron, he was at 25 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, 10 of 21 shooting. Lakers are going to need a vintage LeBron performance of 25 plus shots, 35 plus points. This needs to be Miami, Cleveland, LeBron. I mean, even though LeBron we've seen, you know, we haven't really seen it in this series. Even game three, he wasn't that just dominant every possession guy and really hasn't been that since his return from the high ankle sprain. But you know, it starts with him and just his aggression, going downhill, spread pick and roll, spacing the floor around him. That needs to be the bread and butter of the Lakers offense without Anthony Davis. I think then there's a trickle-down effect where Kyle Kuzma is probably going to start. He started 19 games this season, replacing AD. He started more games than that, but 19 games as the AD replacement. And I think, you know, he started the second half. And to me, it's just the logical replacement. I know Markieff Morris played in this game. He played 8 minutes and he obviously started for AD for a while in the regular season. But to me, Keith isn't as mobile as Kuz. And it really comes down to that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
With the Crowder Bridges lineup and with the switching that the Lakers are going to have to do and just with what they're going to need defensively, Kuz is a better defender than Keith, and he just matches up, I think, better with Crowder and Bridges and can switch between those two. And they're not going to take him off the dribble. They're not going to back cut him. Like Kuz is solid defensively and I think matches up well with those guys. And then offensively, Keith is really just a spot-up shooter, and I think going from AD to Keith is such a drastic shift in terms of role and skill set that Kuz, again, is not AD, but is maybe the closest approximation to AD in terms of a guy on the roster who can step in and do some of those things. You know, so it's not, he's not 80% of AD. He's not even probably 50% of AD, but He can do some of those things in terms of spacing the floor, running pick and rolls as both the ball handler and the screener, And I think he just is going to give the offense a little bit more juice than a guy like Keith would, or even downsizing to, you know, like Caruso or starting Wes Matthews and going super small. And that's the other thing here that I think got lost in everything today was that KCP missed this game, and, you know, with his own injury. And I think, I'm not saying if KCP's playing, they win, but KCP is so important to this team on both ends. His defense on Devin Booker, his shooting, I know it hasn't been there this series, but he is the shooter that the Suns respect. If you go back and watch the film and watch every shooter on this team, you know, Ben McLemore's now hit a couple, so the Suns are respecting him. But aside from that, they're letting Alex shoot. They're letting Mark shoot. They're letting Kuz shoot. They're letting Wes shoot, although they're starting to respect him a bit more. They're definitely letting Dennis shoot. They're letting LeBron shoot. They're letting AD shoot. Like, they're letting everybody shoot with a couple of exceptions, and KCP is one of those exceptions. So as the Lakers' best 3-and-D player, he was, you know, badly missed in this game, especially in a situation where the Lakers were downsizing and playing smaller, playing more LeBron at the four, playing, you know, lineups with Dennis and Wes and Kuz and Alex on the perimeter. Like, KCP would have been great to soak up some of those minutes. And you know, like Ben playing 16 minutes, he had a couple threes early in his shift, but after that didn't really do much and got burned and targeted defensively multiple times. Like, those are minutes you probably want going to KCP instead. And you know, Ben did help again with a couple threes, but I just think, you know, KCP is another swing here where if KCP plays, that's a guy you can play 30 to 35 minutes at the two and the three, is going to defend multiple positions, play hard, gives you that identity of getting out in transition, hitting threes and playing hard multi-positional defense. So KCP is, I think, is another swing factor, and another factor that people weren't really talking enough about in terms of the Lakers being down two starters and really arguably like their second and third most important guys. I mean, clearly their second most important, you know, in AD behind LeBron, but on a given night, KCP could be the third guy. And missing that, I think, was a big blow for this team, especially a guy who's been there multiple years, has a rapport with all the guys that have been here since, you know, before this season. So to me, KCP was a big blow, and his impact was felt, or, you know, lack thereof. So KCP's status is a big one for me for game five in terms of how I view it. But, you know, with AD out, it's Kuz starting, I think, and playing a bigger role. It's KCP potentially if he plays, but Wes, Alex, Dennis, these guys got to make shots. They have to hit threes, and they did hit some. You know, Dennis hit a couple threes. Wes hit a couple threes. Mark hit three threes. Alex hit a couple threes. Like, that was good. The Lakers hit 13 threes. This was their best shooting night of the series. 13 of 40, 32%. Still not great. Still probably should have made a couple more of those, but I liked the volume. I liked that they were really making the Suns pay for just ignoring them. And instead of driving into a paint with five people and turning the ball over or flinging up a contested shot, they were like, okay, we're going to burn you at the three-point line. You know, we're finally going to regress to the mean somewhat. And I think they're due for some more regression. So I think for me, looking at it, again, there's a trickle-down effect. LeBron, of course, has to step up, but it's Kuz, it's Andre, it's Dennis. Those three are probably going to get the increase in shot attempts, but the shooters are probably going to get some form of increase of shot attempts. And I actually think Marc Gasol grows in importance because he's the Lakers' best defensive big other than AD. So now his role is even more important, that rim protection. He had three blocks in game four and a steal, and actually all three blocks were in the final 6 minutes of the game when the Lakers were making that comeback and were able to get the deficit down to seven. So I think they stumbled on something there with the small ball unit of Mark, LeBron, Wes, Dennis, and Alex. And I think that is a group that they should definitely use in game five. And Mark, I just think with his passing, with his defense, with his shooting, again, I'm a broken record here, but he just provides so much value. And especially in smaller units. He protected the paint. He rebounded well, had four offensive rebounds, was able to capitalize on his size against the Suns going so small. And I think he really was, to me, the second best player, probably. I would say so. But behind LeBron, he to me was the second best Laker in this game. So I look at Mark as another guy who can step up as a shooter and as a interior defender in AD's absence. But it's going to be tough. I do think that if AD's out game five, it's tough not to favor the Suns in that game. I do think that a Herculean performance from LeBron is going to be necessary to win that game. It's certainly possible. I'm definitely not going to count out LeBron James. I will not do that until he retires, frankly. I'm going to believe in him. And I do think the Lakers obviously have a chance. And, it could be a situation where if AD is out the rest of the series, let's say, like maybe the shell-shocked nature of playing without him, playing in that hostile environment in Phoenix, Lakers drop game five, then come back to LA, win game six, and then it's for all the marbles in game seven. This is really not a traditional first-round series. This, to me, reminds me of 2015 between the Clippers and the Spurs, where that was one of the best first-round series ever. It went seven, and everyone universally was like, these two teams are too good to be matched up in the first round. That's how I feel right now. This almost feels like the Western Conference Finals, or at least a conference semifinal series. So I'm excited for game five. I think this has been a fun series. It's been a rock fight. It has not been the prettiest basketball. There's been a lot of missed wide open threes, a lot of free throws, and it's been clunky at times, but it's had an old school vibe. It's had an old school feel where there's been some animosity. There's been some, of course, ejections and technicals and flagrants and some bad blood between the two sides, clearly. And that's fun. That's fun for me as a neutral, a neutral observer, even though I dropped the we earlier. I'm kicking myself for that one. I think going into game five, it's Lakers gotta, I think you actually gotta play smaller. I think with AD, you can justify playing bigger. Okay, let's play AD at the four. Let's overwhelm them with the size. You don't have another four to replace him. I guess we could maybe see some Trez minutes. Trez played 5 minutes, but the problem with playing Trez is you just saw it in that first stint. Number one, he didn't even get a shot up, which, Phoenix just basically neutralized him and did not allow him anywhere near the rim. But number two, they just targeted him in pick and rolls and were whoever Trez was defending. He had a couple times where he switched on to wings. Like, they were just having that guy screen and pop or screen and roll or just involving that guy in the primary action. And I just don't know if Trez can hold up defensively. I definitely don't think he can hold up in the DeAndre 8 minutes, which I was surprised the Lakers went to that. I think maybe in the Frank Kaminsky or Dario Saric, if they dust him off, Trez can play in those minutes. But to me, I think it's still probably his best Andre and Mark at the five. Maybe you want to test out Trez at the four and go like LeBron, Kuz, Keefe, and Trez at the four. Test those four guys out for the first like 16 minutes of the game. See who's playing the best, what lineups are looking the best, and then roll with that for the last 32 minutes of the game. Because Lakers need to treat this game as a game seven, basically, especially if AD is out, just because your margin for error is going to be so small depending on how long he's out for, right? So if they drop game five, yes, they're going back to LA for game six, but you're either potentially playing with a hobbled AD or no AD, and there's no guarantee you win the series at that point. So if Lakers could somehow steal game five on the road in Phoenix, I think that at least gives you that cushion of you can come back to LA and ideally finish out the series. But if you don't, you're buying AD time to return, again, depending on how long he's out, because I'm operating under the assumption that he's out game five at a minimum and possibly game six. So this is an unfortunate development for the Lakers season. It feels like this is just the latest blow in a series full of them. But again, this is the defending champs. This is LeBron James. This is Frank Vogel. I'm going to trust those guys until they lose four games in a series. I'm going to trust them to push the right buttons, to figure out the best way to attack this Phoenix team. And again, I mean, I think as Kuz said, they still held Phoenix to 100 points. Phoenix only shot 28% on threes. They shot 43% overall. So the Lakers defense has held up with even without AD in that second half. I mean, they actually allowed more points in the first half than the second half. They only allowed 46 points in the second half after allowing 54 in the first half. So the defense was actually better without Anthony Davis. Of course, I'm not going to fully read into those numbers. I think that, you know, some of this stuff is a little misleading, small sample size. And I just think based on the eye test, Anthony Davis is clearly a plus player in making an impact and had the monster game two and game three performance. But, you know, for what it's worth, he was a minus eight in his 19 minutes. The Lakers lost by eight. So they were a net zero in the 29 minutes that he did not play. So I think all the data suggests the Lakers can still be a decent team without AD. I do think it's a blow, but I think they can go into Phoenix and win, or win a tough game in LA, you know, down 3-2, backs against the wall, have to win to save your season. I think either one of those is possible. I'm not going to count them out yet, but it is disconcerting that AD is out and we just don't know his status right now. But again, we should be hearing more on Monday, so be on the lookout for that. Check The Athletic, check social media at Jovan Buha. And yeah, I mean, that's really it off this game. I thought Lakers shot well. They had that good stretch in the fourth quarter, had the horrible stretch in the third quarter where the offense just tanked. Dennis wasn't great tonight. Andre had a quiet game. And that's kind of about it. You know, the role players have continued to kind of struggle shooting, but they did hit some more threes tonight. So I think that about does it for tonight's podcast. I thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can follow me on social media at Jovan Buha, at JOVANBUHA. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, you can do so on on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, also on The Athletic. And if you're not subscribed to The Athletic, you can do so at theathletic.com, download the app, or you can go to one of my social channels and subscribe off of one of my articles, preferably off of Twitter. Right now, we have a deal for $1 a month for the first 6 months for new subscribers. So if you've been thinking about subscribing, now's the time to do it. It's our best deal of the year. So definitely go do that if you haven't. And if you haven't, I don't know what you're doing, but go do it. Thank you guys again so much, and I will talk to you after Game 5.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.